Michelle LaVon Robinson, girl of the South Side. For the past 25 years, you have not only been my wife and mother of my children, you have been my best friend. You took on a role you didn't ask for, and you made it your own. You made the White House a place that belongs to everybody. And a new generation sets its sights higher because it has you as a role model. I do have one final ask of you as your president. The same thing I asked when you took a chance on me 8 years ago. I am asking you to believe, not in my ability to bring about change, but in yours. I am asking you to hold fast to that faith written into our founding documents, that idea whispered by slaves and abolitionists, that spirit sung by immigrants and homesteaders and those who marched for justice, that creed reaffirmed by those who planted flags from foreign battlefields to the surface of the moon, a creed at the core of every American whose story is not yet written. Yes, we can.
Yeah, my president is black, my Maybach too, and I'll be goddamn if my diamonds ain't blue. My money's dark green and my Porsche is light gray, and I'm headed for D.C. Anybody feel me? My president is black, my Maybach too, and I'll be goddamn if my diamonds ain't blue. My money's dark green and my Porsche is light gray, and I'm headed for D.C. Anybody feel me?
We're here.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another week of the Corner Podcast. Shout out to all the sponsors once again. You already know it's Kel Dansby and Andreas Hale back for another week. After a night full of mixed emotions, man, we get the best of politics, we get the worst of politics, and that's where we got to kick off the show, right? I know we're a combat sports show, but we talk about everything. We go from Obama's amazing speech to Donald Trump pissing on escorts.
Yeah.
Only in America.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really unfortunate that we got to go from Barack Obama, who's this wonderful oratory. You know, you don't have to agree with everything policy-wise, but he doesn't make himself out to be a complete douchebag. Whereas Donald Trump, the orange Cheeto, is just, every time I look at him, I get more pissed. I'm like, how did this guy win? This is disgusting. So, I don't know, man. It was really hard last night watching the Obama farewell speech and then thinking, like, yo, that's the last time Kendrick Lamar is ever going to be in the White House. The Chicago Cubs literally said, yo, we need to get to the White House now before Obama's out of there because we're not trying to see Donald Trump. It's crazy.
No, that's real. I mean, it's going to be an interesting 4 years. You said before that you think it might be eight.
I do. I mean,
I don't think it's going to be eight at all, especially like now leading up to it. This is just the beginning of the shit that's going to come out on Trump, let alone the policies, the tweeting, every little political strategy. It's just, it's a farce. It's a mockery. And he's going to, you know, ride off into the sunset.
they'll never be able to take it away from him. He will always be able to say, not only was I one of the best businessmen of my generation, I was the president of the United States. And that's all he wants, another stamp on the resume, something else to move product, to sell houses, to build real estate. It's not going to be Trump Towers. It's going to be Trump Presidential Towers. That's how it's going to go. It's a marketing tool. It's all for the money. So I think he's going to do his 4 years and ride off into the sunset. You know, our boy, Uncle Joe, Joe Biden, hopefully comes through. He's going to be old, but hey, listen, there's worse. You know, Joe Biden goes out there and maybe runs. We'll see a Kendrick Lamar back in there. You know, Joe's about that life. So you never know. It's going to be a blip in the history of America, but it's one hell of a blip.
Yeah, I don't see Joe Biden running. That's my problem. My problem is we don't really have. Yeah, we don't. Well, it doesn't really work like that. So it's like we don't really have a Democrat who's a viable candidate. It's like I said with George Bush with a Jr. When John Kerry ran, he was a joke. And looking at everything that George Bush had already done and 9/11 being on his watch, you would have thought that it would have got him out of office between that Hurricane Katrina, but it didn't. So it's America's just, we get real complacent. We're hyped now, but let's see how hype we are in 4 years. A lot of people are complacent. If they don't have somebody to vote for, they just won't vote. And hopefully this motivates people to, as long as Trump keeps fucking up, maybe people will get motivated to vote. But I don't put a lot of stock in this country as a whole when it comes to going out to the polls and making their voices heard. Still, regardless of the popular vote being in Clinton's favor or not, the fact that so many people voted for Trump is scary in itself. And do you think these people are looking at Trump now and going, nah, I'm not going to vote for him again? They've already endorsed this clown. So it's like they're going to come out in droves for him again to support him.
You would think until he starts cutting their shit. Like, once again, middle America, you know, the middle class whites and, you know, the hard workers and everything, they wanted a voice. Cool. I've heard that the entire time. But you look at the percentage of people using Obamacare, the people on welfare, the people needing assistance, all of the stuff Trump might actually cut, it's going to affect them as well. So I think he's going to lose some of that vote. Once again, if they have someone viable to vote for.
Well, here's the problem. America is built on the concept of hope. And you hope you're going to be a millionaire. So everything that Trump stands for is what you hope to become. So things like the Obamacare, which is horribly named because it shouldn't be named after a president. It should be named after what it is. But for what it is, these people who are using it right now are hoping to not be on it in the next 4 years. So they're hoping to get a tax break, which Trump will offer. And they're hoping to get the jobs that Trump says will come to fruition. That's what this country is built on. It's not built on the present time. Everybody hopes to be in a better situation. So when they look at Trump, they see tax breaks. They see a country that's built for them, even though it's really not. It's all based on potential. So until middle America starts to believe like, yo, I'm never going to get out of this shitty situation I'm in. I'm going to live in this trailer for the rest of my life. They won't vote any other way. This country's still divided by race. And you still see people going out there saying, oh, well, Barack Obama was a horrible president who divided this country by race. It's like, yeah, y'all are fucking idiots.
My block button was heavy last night. Fuego.
Yeah, I don't block anybody, but, you know, I like to see what idiots have to say. But it's just what people say, dumb shit. And that's just the way it's going to be. So, like I said, we're going to need a viable candidate, and I don't know who that is right now. I don't see Joe Biden running, and I really don't know who else there is right now that, you know, the left is going to get behind, and those who didn't vote will come out and vote for. So we'll see. We got 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long time. How do you feel about the Obama speech in itself?
I mean, Obama's one of the greatest orators in the history of presidents, of all presidents. I've never heard somebody as dynamic and as likable as he is. So his speech was remarkable. Him shouting out Michelle in the manner that he did and his children was very heartwarming. And then you think Trump can't even do that because who's he going to shout out, his daughter? So it's like, you know, like Melania doesn't even speak English. So it's like you look at the differences between the two and you look at Obama and you look at how likable he is and how the swag that he had. And there's just a lot of things that are that we can relate to. And when I say we, I don't even say just African-Americans. I'm talking about Americans as a whole can relate to. But he's profound. Like I said on Twitter, he's going to clean up on the public speaking circuit. because that man can talk. He is phenomenal. And that speech last night was one of those mic drop moments, the Dave Chappelle mic drop moment. It was phenomenal. So, again, it was sad to see him go. And then you look at Trump and you're like, "This, I can't even watch this fool talk."
Oh, yeah, it's going to be – I'm just waiting for that inauguration. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be in the minority. I don't care. I'm going to watch it just because it. I want to see the contrast. I want to see the stark difference in what we had to what we're going to have. You know, a lot of times you don't appreciate what you had until it's gone. So it's going to be interesting to see. I just want a glimpse of the next 4 years.
Yeah, true indeed.
So that's going to be crazy. Shout out to Obama. I had my whole timeline crying. I played My President is Black for like an hour straight last night. He was the first president I ever voted for. It was the first president I could vote for. I was 20, so that was my first election I could vote for. I remember walking. I didn't drive. I didn't do it. I walked to like the neighborhood little elementary school, voted for him, got my sticker, proud to post it. That was what, the Diddy Barack the Vote campaign?
Yep.
Everyone came out in droves for that. You've talked on the podcast how much, you know, you put into it and trying to get voices heard and everything. So that was just monumental. Something hopefully we see again. I'm sure my children will see it again in their generation. Everything goes in cycles. Maybe they vote for, you know, the true first woman president. I have two daughters. Hopefully they get to experience that and how proud it is to see that moment come to fruition. Or, you know, maybe we get someone who's Hispanic or openly gay or something, you know, just different people get behind. And it's just cool to see a movement like that. So Trump, it's a stark difference. I'm not sure if he makes anyone feel like that unless you're a racist and you feel like we finally got one of our own. But yeah, I don't know. It has to be after him. So it's going to be a crazy 4 years. I'm not going as far as saying eight. How do you see the whole Trump scandal playing out? Because that's something we got to talk about before we move on. He pissed on escorts, or the escorts pissed on him. Did we get clarification?
No, we didn't get clarification.
Someone pissed on somebody in Russia.
I just don't think it's going to matter. I just think it's a lot of noise right now. And as much as it's ridiculous and disgusting, like, this is not the only ridiculous, disgusting thing that Trump has done in his life. And he still became the president. So I'm just, you know, it's a bunch of noise. And it's like, I'm watching and I'm paying attention, but I don't get my hopes up for any of this. I don't get my hopes up for an impeachment. I don't get my hopes up. If it happens, fantastic, but I don't have my hopes up.
No, I mean, you watched the Riley from the Boondocks episode when, you know, Riley's talking about R. Kelly. Was it stopping him from listening to R. Kelly music? That's how America feels. You know, people who voted for Trump feel about it. It's like, he didn't piss on me. So what does it affect me? He's like, Riley said it best. I see piss, I move. They saw piss, they stayed. Like, it's logic. Like, no one's going to impeach Trump over this. It's hilarious. To think 50 years from now, 60 years from now, this is going to be in a textbook.
It won't be. It'll just. I think it'll be like a footnote, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see how the future will play out. Switching from one ridiculous thing to the next, it's time to talk combat sports. And
wait, I want to talk about one thing before we talk about combat sports. Did you watch the Golden Globes?
Oh, I did. I did. Shout out to Black culture there. Listen, we take a loss, we take a win. All in the same. Shout out to Donald Glover. Man, funny speech, great speech. I didn't expect Atlanta to win. Just goes to show what being persistent and sticking to your beliefs and your morals. He didn't have to quit community. He had no guarantee on anything. He had a vision, and he made it happen. So that was amazing to see. Your boy with the dance on stage was hilarious.
Yes, Keith Stanfield. I interviewed him at Sundance last year. and to see that dance is like really him. Like, we hung out, you know, for a brief second. He's also a rapper, which a lot of people don't know. He had like a show at Sundance. But we were at the hotel and just getting a taste of his personality and then seeing him bust that dance. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of him. That's kind of how he rolls. That was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, there was a ton of stuff, though. What, Best Picture went to a predominantly Black movie, correct?
I believe Moonlight won.
With my boy Cottonmouth.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen that movie. I haven't been able to get out to see it, but I'm going to see it as soon as it drops. But The only thing that the only person that didn't win that should have won was Courtney B. Vance for his portrayal of Johnny Cochran in the OJ series. I was kind of surprised he didn't win, but it was a night of black excellence. The only thing I want to point out was the ridiculousness. As much as I love Donald Glover, the ridiculousness of him, the hyperbole of comparing Migos to the Beatles, that made me laugh because it was so goddamn ridiculous. And Migos is like, yo, Migos is literally blowing up because it's Bad and Bougie's the number one song in the country. Like, Donald Glover with the biggest endorsement of the night. And who else is going to shout out Migos at an award show?
That's yeah, crazy. Right? He had to throw the oop, and it worked. Migos' new video, by the way, is ridiculous. They have, like, furs on. They're shooting arrows and shit.
Yeah, that's like The Revenant. It's the DiCaprio movie. I watched it. I was like, this is so ridiculous.
Yo, that shit's just next level. So Migos is doing stuff that's just beyond comprehension. But that's what hip-hop is to this young generation. Like you said, voters want hope. So, I mean, hip-hop has always been based off of hope, right? People rap and hopefully they break big. And Migos aren't lyricists. They're not going to be in a cypher. But they just wilding out, and their audience are people who also one day hope to wild out, and they love that shit. They want to rock furs and minks in the winter in some cabin and stuff. I don't new black people goals, I guess. Donald Glover and Atlanta in itself, you know, kind of captures that. So it's interesting to see, because he shouted out Migos. It's interesting to see where he takes the characters from his show. Like, are they always going to be struggling artists? You know, is Paperboy going to blow up? Is he going to be the one-hit wonder? Are they going to go through the whole Migos phase where he's too big for reality and everything? It's interesting because Migos is what Donald Glover is writing about. Like, yeah. Them specifically, that journey, what they were able to do is the reason he's holding that trophy. So it made sense that he shouted them out. The Beatles, we could slow your horses. But, you know, everyone wants to be compared to the Beatles.
Of course.
So Black Beatles is a huge song right now. Come on.
Yep, it is. All right, let's talk about the ridiculousness of combat sports. And we got to start with the most ridiculous thing. And I can't believe this joke is still going. When is somebody going to say, okay, we're playing?
It might not be a joke.
Soulja Boy versus Chris Brown in a boxing match. Floyd Mayweather as the promoter. I keep watching this. I'm like, yo, when is this joke going to end? Mike Tyson's a trainer. Adrian Broner tried to get involved. They're talking about doing this in L.A. or Vegas. Yo, and then just the interview with Soulja Boy and Floyd Mayweather. Like, everything about this is so fucking stupid. Yo, but I will be ringside if this fight happens.
Okay, I was about to say, but if it goes down, we're covering it, right?
Of course. it's kind of our job to do that. As ridiculous as it is, as a mockery of the sport as it is, I mean, I like to be entertained, so I would be entertained by this fight.
You thought Mayweather weekend brought out the ratchets? Oh, we're in there. It's Ratchet Watch 2017 if this goes down in Vegas. Dre's is going to be packed. Mayweather Strip Club probably opens the same weekend. Man, you gotta call Yahoo. You got to call Champions. You got to tell them you need a couple days off. Because old man Andreas is hanging it up for the weekend. We're bringing young Andreas back out. Team no sleep.
That'll be a scary sight. If they did it in Vegas, it'll be scary. I know they're talking about doing it in L.A., but, like, dude, it's so – I can't even believe I'm talking about this. Like, this isn't real. This like, these two having a boxing match, Soulja Boy – like, are they even in the same weight class?
Nah, Soulja Boy looks a smooth buck 50.
Like, and Chris Brown is – he looks like he could throw some hands. I don't know. And then Soulja Boy with his, you know, his gang affiliations. And swoop. Like, what is going on here?
It's from Bompton. Like, no, you know, transplant from Atlanta. Whatever.
I don't know. This is so stupid. But who wins the fight?
All right. Hold on. Tale of the tape. Soulja Boy is 5'9". I'm giving him $145. And 5'9 is the key. So he's kind of like a McGregor height. Chris Brown is 6'1", I'd say 170. So that's 25 pounds and 4 inches tall. Let alone the reach. We know the agility advantage has to go to Chris Brown. He's a dancer, right? He has like the Conor McGregor capoeira shit, probably.
Probably.
And Soulja Boy, I guess he danced prior in his life. He had the Yule, so I mean, he can move a little bit. lateral movement might be there. He has Mayweather in his corner. Let's go through all the Mayweather. So that means he's being defensive. I like it. Mayweather's used to fighting bigger guys. He knows how to do the shoulder roll. Maybe he teaches him that. Negates the reach advantage by Chris. Now, Chris went and got Tyson. Chris is trying to knock him out. I'm assuming they both do their fair amount of drugs. Cardio will come into play. It's only a 3-round fight, I think they were talking about. Still, I'm surprised if someone doesn't gas by the second. Chris is going for the knockout and the haymaker. You know, I'm expecting a very Deontay Wilder approach by Chris Brown. Jabs by the left, long right hand over the top. So that's an intensive, look at that, intensive breakdown of the fight. I'm going to have to go with Chris Brown. I got to go with Chris. He got the feet, yo. The feet never lie. Fast feet always helps.
Look, let's throw all this out the window. Trainer doesn't matter. Cardio doesn't matter. None of this matters. This is a fight. This is like a street fight in a boxing ring. Like, I don't care what Floyd Mayweather teaches Soulja Boy. It's not going to come to fruition in a boxing ring. These two are just going to throw hands at each other, look really stupid in the process until somebody gets caught. And I figure that Chris Brown will catch Soulja Boy and maybe knock him out. But, you know, when I think about celebrity boxing matches, I always think about the white boy that beat up Sticky Fingers so many years ago. Nobody saw that coming. Everybody thought Sticky Fingers would beat the hell out of that boy, but he didn't. So you never know. I just, like, for pure spectacle, and this is just in Mayweather's wheelhouse right now because he's not doing anything, but he just wants to make some money. So he's going to take the easiest path to make money. A Soulja Boy Chris Brown fight pretty much sells itself. He doesn't have to worry about people buying tickets. It's stupid, and it's easy money. It's so simple and so easy for him to do. I just can't see these two carrying the same animosity until whenever this fight's supposed to happen. Like, when I got the alert from ESPN, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, why is this? Why did I get an alert from ESPN that Soulja Boy and Chris Brown are going to box? Ridiculous.
pay-per-view buys, more or less than Triple G fight.
Wow.
It's an honest, a real legit ass question.
It really is. Pay-per-view. Well, what's the it depends. What's the pay-per-view price at? $60?
60. We're going 60.
Oh my God.
And a Mayweather undercard, because Mayweather's promoting it, saying he actually puts legit ass fighters on the undercard.
There's no real legit ass fighters that's gonna sell.
No, I mean, like, he'll put like a Tabidi or something.
So what are we talking about? Over under what? 300,000? 200,000?
I think last Triple G went 175, so let's go 250.
I'll disgustingly say I'll say over. I figure that somehow
he goes over. He's in Pacquiao range.
Yeah, he's in Pacquiao's last fight range. It's possible. We're really in uncharted territory. We never had a fight like this go to a pay per view. But it depends if they hype it up. If Mayweather puts his, you know, his marketing ability behind it, this thing could sell like 200,000 pay per views. So I'm going to say over, sadly.
Do we see more celebrity boxings if the pay-per-view goes well? One of these young whippersnappers called out Lil Wayne to box. They all look alike to me.
Yeah, Kodak Black.
Yeah, no racism involved. They just all look alike.
If this happens, then maybe it'll be a fun way for some guys to make money when they don't have shit else to do. I just don't think it's going to happen. I just think this is a ridiculous joke. But we'll see. We're still like in La La Land because this is stupid. it's hard. Like, for us to even be talking about this show, it's like, oh man, you guys are legitimate combat sports podcasts talking about Soulja Boy and Chris Brown in real life? Yeah, we are. Sorry.
I was on Twitter earlier, Raging Babe, shout out to Michelle. Follow her on Twitter. She was talking about, like, she told someone that she covers boxing at the bank because they saw like her little company credit card. And the teller was like, oh, there's a big fight coming up. And she's anticipating, you know, maybe like a Triple G or something else. And then she's like, oh, yeah, which one are you talking about? And then the teller was like, Soulja Boy versus Chris Brown, right? And that's America. that's where we're living it.
Yeah. Wow.
Casual fans know of this fight.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We're just trying to listen, man. If we can't get media role for that fight, we got to give up the podcast. Who's more qualified to get media role for that fight than us? They better not give it to First Take.
What'll happen, if this fight were to happen, what'll happen is like all the magazine, like all the mainstream publications will be ringside for this fight, like Bossup and like what Vibe or Billboard. It'll be like all those publications, like Us Weekly.
Listen, I got a corner of the market on this shit. Like, I got a boxing podcast. I'm on BSO. It's like the perfect mix of stuff. Like, they gotta give me something.
It is, but I'm just saying, like, there's gonna be so many outlets that aren't boxing outlets that'll come cover this event. Like, yo, this is,
can you imagine? Can you imagine Charlamagne front row next to like the Bossup people, next to Media Takeout, and then Aioli, like all in front row.
Dude, Aioli will probably pass me that fight. I can almost guarantee that Aioli will pass me that fight. So I'll be there too. Yeah, I'm gonna reach out to Charlamagne and see if he would actually be coming down for that fight. Chances are he would be, but it's so stupid. It's so dumb.
It's hilarious. That's what we're looking at. For a legit ass fight, we have Triple G versus Jacobs. They're hitting the media trail and trying not to get drowned out by all the noise. That's actually a real fight, and it's a legit fight. The biggest test for Triple G yet, I would say, and sets him up for a Canelo fight. If Canelo doesn't take it after that, then it's just not going to happen. But this is no cupcake fight for Triple G. Jacobs is the real deal. And just seeing them standing next to each other, Jacobs is a lot bigger than Triple G.
He's legit middleweight. Like, I've been talking about Danny Jacobs for years. Danny Jacobs is a legit middleweight who Triple G needs an opponent like this, an opponent who also knocks out everybody he faces, who has fought legitimate competition. He drilled Peter Quillin in a round, beat Sergio Mora handily. So this is a big threat. Do I think Jacobs wins? No, but I do think it's an exciting fight, and it's a fight that Triple G needs, so people will say he hasn't fought anybody, which has been the prevailing thought since day one, is that Triple G has not fought anybody. But this is great competition here. So yeah, if he wins this fight, then Canelo has to fight him. If he doesn't, he's a pussy. So there's that.
Pretty easy. Other fight announced: Manny Pacquiao. And literally in my notes, I have Manny Pacquiao versus Aussie.
Jeff Horn. Yes.
Jeff Horn, thank you. Because I did not care to remember this guy's name.
Yeah.
They didn't put up the silhouette, like the little black silhouette, because it doesn't matter who he's fighting. And it's supposed to be in Australia. Manny's trying to get this non-tax money off the books. Like, I don't understand if he's going to keep fighting, what this does for his career.
Well, okay. I'll break it down. Manny Pacquiao is doing a world tour where he's going to fight in other countries against lesser competition. And the reason for that is the fact that in preparation for Jesse Vargas, he had to take a lot of time out of his senatorial duties, which I believe were very difficult. When I asked Manny and Freddie, Manny would train at 10 p.m. at night after being, giving speeches for hours on end. So he can't really fight a Terrence Crawford because he doesn't really have the time to prepare. Jeff Horn is a guy who was a 2012 Olympian from Australia, who's 16-0-1 with 11 knockouts, who destroyed Ali Fanica on the undercard of the Parker Ruiz fight, and is a draw in another country. So as difficult as it was for Pacquiao to sell in the States, as we saw his 300,000 pay-per-views against Jesse Vargas in Vegas, you take that fight overseas, you put it in a bigger in Brisbane, you put it in a big stadium, Pacquiao makes a lot more money. And they don't have to worry about HBO. They don't have to worry because they're not going to be able to sell this fight to HBO. They're going to have to produce their own pay-per-view. They don't have to worry about the American pay-per-view buys. You know, it's the same thing when Pacquiao fought Brandon Rios. It's, when you fight overseas, you're looking at that gate, and that gate can be very big for him. The days of Pacquiao competing as a competitive fighter in the top tier are done. It's over. You're not going to see it again. So Jeff Horn,
he's on Roy Jones status, is what you're telling me?
Well, not on Roy Jones status.
You're just collecting checks.
Well, yeah, he still enjoys fighting, and if he can find a way to fight better competition, then he'll do so. But this is easy money, and in Bob Arum's eyes, it's like, why make hard money and eliminate somebody when I can still try Pacquiao out to, because after this, they'll probably take him over to the Middle East. They'll probably take him over to China. And they'll rake in a bunch of money off of Pacquiao's back rather than putting him in there with Terrence Crawford and virtually ending his career, because that's what would happen if he lost to Terrence Crawford. So it's milking the cash cow for what's left. Pacquiao can continue to make money, continue to be a senator, and not very difficult fights. It's a simple equation that none of us really like.
No, and Crawford does what? Because that's the only problem with that theory is Crawford is not being built into your next mega star. Because no, you won't let him wash your old megastar.
Well, the prevailing thought is that Terrence Crawford doesn't need Manny Pacquiao anymore, even though he kind of does.
Everyone needs the push. That's like saying Canelo didn't need Mayweather, even in a loss. Everyone needs the rub.
But Terrence Crawford isn't as much as we enjoy and love Terrence Crawford, he is not going to ever be a guy who sells beyond a core boxing audience. There is no out, and this is what I've been talking about this year. The plight of the African American boxer is you don't have a country behind you. You like Pacquiao has the Philippines, and Asians come out in droves to see Manny Pacquiao fight. You know, Irish come out to see Conor McGregor. The Brazilians see Jose Aldo. Puerto Ricans for Miguel Cotto. African American boxers, unless you're doing something stupid, you're not really a mainstream appeal. And Terrence Crawford is going to run into that issue because there's nothing that Terrence Crawford does outside of the ring that is intriguing to a mainstream audience. And that's going to be basically not his downfall, but he's always going to be a core, hardcore boxing fan's dream. Him, Keith Thurman, Errol Spence. None of these guys are going to be like superstars in the sport unless they do something else outside of the ring. And I don't necessarily see Crawford doing anything.
Well, because Thurman, I thought, could be it, because one thing American fans love, you're right, they have no like nationality, like nationalism behind it anymore. You don't have a core audience, but American fans love the knockout. There's a reason why American fans love Triple G. I would say Triple G is the most popular amongst American fans now. Because
he's a Kazakh fighter.
Because
he's Eastern European.
We love the knockout. Regardless of where you're from, we love the knockout. Conor has a million fans here. Tons of fans. All those people in the crowd wearing Irish, people were from America wearing Irish stuff. Because they love the knockout.
Well, they love Conor's mouth. Anthony Johnson knocks people out. You don't see him drawing people. So knockouts aren't the only formula. So you have to look at it from a number of perspectives. And an African-American fighter, like, you have to be Floyd Mayweather. You have to be something outside of the ring.
Deontay Wilder.
He's not a draw. Except in his home state. It's like you look at these guys, like, these guys aren't legitimate draws. As much as we love Errol Spence, he's too nice. He's a nice guy. He's going to have to come out and be a dick. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, you can't be nice and black.
Like, we love Keith Thurman, but...
Sorry, Apollo Crews.
Yeah, it's like these guys, like, none of them are, like, you know, Triple G, yes, he's knocking everybody out. He's Eastern European, i.e. white, which is crazy, but that's kind of how you look at it. Canelo has Mexicans behind him in droves. So it makes it really difficult for a guy like Terrence Crawford to get over. Like, hopefully these things will change. We'll see some of these guys go over. But just let's be real. Demetrius Johnson's the number one pound-for-pound fighter in MMA. Nobody comes to watch him fight.
No, because he's tiny and there's no knockouts.
It's not even the fact that he's tiny. He's not interesting outside of the cage.
I wouldn't say that. He has very big nerd appeal. Nerd appeal is strong right now. Like, Big Bang Theory is still going on television.
But that's not his selling point.
It should be.
It should be, but it's not.
There's no reason why he doesn't wear a Mega Man helmet to the ring.
Yeah, but
or into the cage. Like, just hype up the nerd appeal. Straight, you know, just have him come out surrounded by, you know, video game characters instead of security. Something. They missed the boat. I don't understand. Once again, it comes down to in the ring, too. If Rumble had a shtick, then you are right. If he had a shtick and knocked people out, he'd be fine. John Jones was never marketable, in my opinion.
Until now.
Because, I mean, evil John Jones is great.
That's what I'm saying. It's a problem with African-American combatants. Or African-American athletes across the board. The problem is, unless you got something going on outside of your sport, you're not a real draw. Like, people don't necessarily love you. And I mean, it's different because there's, you know, this is mainly in combat sports. This is mainly in boxing, MMA. In basketball, it's different. In football, it's different. You know, it's really about what you do on the field. But in combat sports, it's strange. It's a like soccer. You know, countries get behind their athlete. And we just don't have that for any black athlete here. And Terrence Crawford, as much as Bob Arum loves Terrence Crawford, as much as we love his ability in the ring, let's be honest, the man doesn't give great interviews. You know, he doesn't really care for the media. He doesn't do anything that's going to move the needle for other people to watch. He's not like a Nate Diaz, who you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is.
All right, so question. We determined that boxing is, you know, based on culture, nationalities, and everything, and that's how fan bases grow, and the biggest stars now have those fan bases. Do you think if there was a boxer, top five, pound for pound, let's say Terrence Crawford, even his style, right, who was white, like, regardless of Boston white or corn-fed Nebraska white, if he was a white boxer with the same credentials and the accolades and the punching power and everything, would he be a star? Is the great white hope needed? Is that more likely than pushing a marketable black star with good character?
It's still a thing. The great white hope is still a thing in boxing. It's still a thing in sports. Like, if you look at basketball, if there was a white dude with the skills of LeBron James, people would be clamoring over him. It's still like,
I saw Tim Tebow with my two eyes. I know exactly what the hell the great white hope is. The kid couldn't throw a ball from me to you.
Right.
But I am telling you, he won and he spoke about God and he was passionate and people ignored his flaws for years. And I like Tebow. I like the attitude, the character. But Jameis Winston did the exact same shit and he was crushed or nowhere near as beloved. And he's a better player, but he speaks the same, he motivates the same. The accolades in college are there, and he's not Tebow. So the great white hope there was real. Skip Bayless still brings up Tebow.
Yeah, I mean, dude, let's look at Cam Newton. Like, look at what
bounds better than Tim Tebow.
And Cam Newton drew a ton of criticism, but he was a far superior athlete. But it's the great white hope thing is still a thing. And if you take somebody like Terrence Crawford, you made him white with the same skills and knockout ability, yes, he'd be a bigger draw. It's a sad truth. And anybody who tweets me and says that I'm an idiot or that I'm dividing races, like, yeah, you're a racist. So, you know, it's just like, you just don't pay attention to what goes on in society.
It's an honest discussion, though. Like, that's real. It's like you said, if there was a white LeBron James, how big would it be? People lost their mind over Jimmer Fredette. Like, right. How big would it be? Not like, you know, the unicorn and like Porzingis, who's foreign, or Dirk Nowitzki or anything. A homeborn and bred white super athlete. A Russell Westbrook. You know, even if Steph Curry was just white, like a white dude was just chucking it from three. Regardless of the skill, like if you were a superstar, top five player and white, would it be different?
It's always different. You're from Christian Laettner to Jimmer to Adam Morrison. Like, you look at these white players and you look how much of a push they get. And it's almost disgusting because on the surface, it's like, all right, like, yeah, Jimmer was good. Yeah, Adam Morrison was good. But people who really studied basketball were like, he's not that good. He's going too high. He doesn't play defense. There's a number of things he doesn't do well. And he's about as good as like a late second round black athlete, like Adam Morrison was. Adam Morrison was trash in the league. And they were trying to make this guy the next Larry Bird. So it's race is still a factor in sports in general, but in combat sports more so. It's the reason why, you know, we don't see any, there's no real black superstars unless they're doing something negative. Adrian Broner is a draw because he's an idiot. And for whatever reason, they gravitate towards idiots. Yes, yeah. They gravitate towards the black idiot. It you know, it's a stereotype still in this country. Nobody cares for the intelligent black athlete. Yeah. Nobody.
Yeah, if you look at the 13th, you know, documentary on Netflix, they highlight that and go into the history of, you know, that stereotypical black character. And, you know, in sports, it plays out in combat sports more than anywhere else. You know, you can have LeBron, who's articulated and, you know, straight and narrow in the NBA, and you give him credit for his merits and all that stuff. But in combat sports, nah. Like, you still kind of got to do the halfway jig. to get over.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And not to say that other cultures don't go through it either. Like, Canelo, as big of a star as he is as a Mexican athlete, there's still a lot of people, Mexican fans, boxing fans in general, that knock him for not being quote-unquote the Mexican boxer. And we're going to hear that when he fights Triple G. They're going to say Triple G is more Mexican than Canelo in fighting style.
Of course.
And there's a stereotype. If you're a Mexican boxer, you got to stand there toe-to-toe, and they don't want to see any sweet science. You better stand there and chunk them. And we see that all in combat sports. It's still very, very stereotypical.
Yes, it is.
But that's pretty much the landscape right now, kind of tying in everything together, politics, stereotypes, and combat sports into one. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have to talk MMA briefly, and then we're going to move on to pro wrestling. So still a lot of show. You guys stay tuned.
Listen up. Because we need help putting out the show that you love for free every week, giving it free to the people, now we know nobody likes filling out surveys, but we really need you to do it. It won't take you more than 5 minutes, and besides helping out the show, you'll be entered for a chance to win a $100 iTunes gift card. You know what I can do with $100 on iTunes? I'm living life large on iTunes with that, and you guys get that just for helping us out. We know some of you may have already done surveys like this in the past, but we really need you to log in and fill this thing out as accurately as possible.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, once we know more about you, we'll be able to deliver the show and the sponsors you dream about. Finding sponsors who are a good fit means we get to give you the deals and information, the brands you care about, while keeping this show free to enjoy every week. Free to enjoy every week. It means you don't have to pay to subscribe for nothing. All right? And if you don't care about helping us and making the show better, do it for the chance to win a free iTunes or Amazon.com gift card. Right? You know, like, do it for free. Do it for the gifts. And if there's not, you know, just think about it. If there's not that many of you doing it, there's a better chance to win. So please, do us this solid and go to thecornersurvey.com. Once again, that's thecornersurvey.com. Do that. Keep the lights on for us. Let us cater to what you need. You know, you can tell us what you like and what you don't like, and then we can keep it all funky and knock this thing out.
I know the Corner Club got our back. You guys are going to fill out that survey. We're going to get more ads. We're going to be bringing you this for free for a long, long time. So shout out to y'all.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Quick break. Thank you guys for always filling out that survey. It helps so much. Keeping us bringing the podcast to you for free and letting us know what you guys want to hear. We're back talking MMA. It's kind of a slow week for MMA. Usually we lead off the show with it, always something to talk about, but it's just more of the same. Kind of what we talked about last week. It's the fallout from Ronda Rousey, right? Everything is still revolving around Ronda. Conor's, you know, off just enjoying not retirement, but a quick break from the sport and enjoying his life, living it up on Instagram. So Ronda's the only other star. And even in a loss, she remains the biggest star in the UFC because we can't stop talking about her. This time, she was seen for the first time. Her house was vandalized, which is horrible. But she stepped outside. The bruise is gone. At least she saw sunlight this time. No one's covering her face. Is she handling this loss better than she handled the last?
Sure, because it's the second one.
She's getting used to losing?
She issued a statement and made a post on Instagram that quoted J.K. Rowling. sure, I don't know. Like, what else can you do? You know, you got knocked out for a second consecutive time. You can't hide for another year. You have to make decisions now. What is the rest of your career going to look like? You know, is there going to be a rest of your career? Your stock has obviously dropped. The WWE is not going to be knocking at your door anytime soon. So what are you going to do, hide forever?
Yeah, do you think she comes back? To me, this is a sign that I think she keeps fighting. Does she fight the top right away? No. Does she finally, you know, take other people's advice and get real training? Maybe. Maybe she goes to a legit camp. I think she brings Edmund with her wherever she goes. She's always going to pay him. But, you know, does she go to a real camp and, you know, try to become a mixed martial artist? She's 29 years old. She's my age. Like, it's not over. Physically, it's not over. Mentally, it could be curtains. But, you know, I think she tries again. I think she goes for a top five person and works her way back up.
Yeah, I think she's going to have to sit on this one for a while. I don't think she wants to go out with a loss. She's going to have a real heart-to-heart with her mother because her mother wants her to retire. And she's going to have to be carefully matched up with the right opponent. And there really aren't too many other threats in women's bantamweight aside from Amanda Nunes that are going to knock you out.
You got to give her a wrestler, though, right? Someone with, no hand skills.
There's really not a whole lot of people left for her to fight. She's already beat Sarah McMahon. She's already beat Kat Zingano. Misha's retired. There's Rocky Pennington, who trained with her but ended up getting injured, who's now sidelined. And Pennington's probably the only person in the top. Well, there's Juliana Payne.
I was about to say, Juliana. I was just about to say Juliana. And Juliana has the chance of becoming a star. So if she beats Ronda, she has everything it takes to actually be a star. The way that you can't push Amanda, you can actually push Juliana.
Yeah, Juliana's got a mouth on her. She's got a volatile personality.
She has the look.
Yeah, and she's not a dangerous striker. So that fight is possible. And Pena's been calling out Ronda for a while now. So even when, you go back to the days on The Ultimate Fighter, Pena's always kind of had her eye on Ronda Rousey. So if Ronda's going to continue to fight, she's going to have to go to a real camp. It's inevitable. She's been offered by Cyborg, Cyborg's coach, to join their camp. There's so many people that would love to have Ronda there because you can't train by yourself. At a certain point when the game – this is Hoyce Gracie all over again. The game is caught up to you and it's passing you by. You need to do something to stop it. So you need a stopgap. So you need to go to a real camp with real fighters. Edmund's not going to ever bring her back to the promised land. Ronda's been figured out. So ultimately the answer, I think, as of right now, I'm going to say Ronda is going to fight again. And if she does choose to fight again, she's going to have a heart-to-heart with her mother. And I think it'll be smart for her to either dump Edmund, because Edmund hasn't done anything for her career. The judo was instilled in her well before she turned pro.
Correct.
So she's just going to need to find another camp. And she's going to have to go somewhere. And I think, I think I've mentioned it before, like Alpha Male or TriStar or American Top Team. American Top Team is where Amanda Nunes is at. And maybe that's where she needs to go. But anywhere but where she's at right now.
I think she wants to be the big fish in the pond if she goes somewhere. That's why I can't see her going to AT&T or Jackson Wink or none of those places.
I don't think so. I think that mentality, I think Ronda's been humbled. And I think Ronda's going to, listen.
Humbled enough to get training and the help she needs, not humbled enough to go somewhere where someone whooped her ass.
I beg to differ. And here's the reason. Ronda is highly competitive, but it's not like Ronda hasn't lost before. She's not a gold medalist in judo, right? She was a bronze medalist.
Correct.
And she picked herself up and continued with her career. So with all that being said, it's about, to be a big fish in a small pond, I think she's smart enough to know that I can't go somewhere, I can't go there. I can't go to a small gym. I need to go, even an Elevation might be a good place for her. But
yeah, I think she'd fit in great at Elevation.
She just needs to go somewhere that's going to pay a lot of attention to her and work on, shoring up the holes in her game. And that, she's never going to be a striker. She just needs to be serviceable as a striker to avoid getting knocked out again. That's really it. And learn how to wrestle. That's what she needs to do.
Yes, she needs to learn a single leg and a double leg ASAP.
Absolutely. Because
you can't judo throw everyone. Nope. So that's Ronda. Cyborg came out, wrote her a nice little Instagram comment, message, super supportive of Ronda, thanked her for what she did to the women's community and pushing, UFC or women's MMA further, opening up the doors in the UFC, and, wished her the best on her second career or the rest of her career. It kind of sounded like she ushered her outside of the octagon. Don't come back here. You ain't a fighter, but you got other stuff going for you. But it was very nice, something Cyborg didn't have to do. What does this do for the Cyborg-Ronda rivalry? If Ronda does come back, is it a rivalry still?
That rivalry is done.
It's done. It doesn't seem like Cyborg is anticipating ever fighting Ronda.
No.
And the pipe dream is gone.
Between Ronda being knocked out twice and now Cyborg facing a suspension for an anti-doping violation with USADA.
Which I think gets knocked down, by the way.
Possible. But either way, because you have to also factor in Dana's clear disdain for Cyborg. Whatever it is, he just doesn't like Cyborg. Ronda and Cyborg will never fight. That's a pipe dream is gone. It's for those who watched women's boxing back in the day, it was like Lucia Riker and Christy Martin. People wanted those two to fight forever because everybody knew that Lucia Riker would beat the shit out of Christy Martin. But the fight never happened for one reason or another. And they had to move on. It's the same thing here. It's never going to come into fruition. Forget about it. They're better off training. And that's what Cyborg's coach said. If you're not going to fight, you might as well just help you train and become better. If you're going to still compete at 135 and Cyborg's going to be a featherweight, you guys might as well train together and become the best fighters you can be. Not against each other. That ship has sailed. Over.
Yeah, and someone asked me about it yesterday, and they were like, why wouldn't she still fight her? It's a money fight. I was like, because Cyborg's not a bully. Cyborg, personally, like, she's a really nice woman. And Ronda was, I guess, her white whale for so long because Ronda was considered the best. Cyborg just wants to be considered the best. She doesn't go knock women out just because she's a bully or wants to bully them. She just happens to do so in her path to being the best female fighter on earth.
And that's something that we've painted this picture of Cyborg is that a murderer
or a monster.
Like, that's not how this works. Like, because people forget, Cyborg beat the dog shit out of Gina Carano. When everybody was like, Gina Carano was like, oh, Gina Carano's, because a lot of there's people that hit me that was like, well, Gina Carano's the one that brought women's MMA to fruition. No, not really. It's like she brought it to prominence, so we paid attention to it. But it was never like, let's bring this to the UFC. Like, Ronda Rousey was the phenomenon. So, but Cyborg put out Gina Carano's fire extraordinarily fast. Because if Gina Carano would have beat Cyborg, there would have probably, then you could have said that Gina Carano is like the true pioneer for white women in America that want to compete mixed martial arts. Cyborg is Brazilian. Cyborg doesn't look, she's not attractive to Americans. She looks like a monster to a lot of people. But she's the nicest woman in the world. If you ever meet her and talk to her, she's extraordinarily nice. But she puts out fires is what she does. And she put out Gina's first, and she was damn sure going to put out Ronda's. And once upon a time, I even thought that fight could have been competitive. But then as time went on, I was like, well, Ronda can't. Like, after watching Ronda versus Misha Tate, I was like, her strike, she's convinced she's a boxer now. Like, Cyborg will beat the shit out of her. So, and the size difference and everything. So, I mean, that rivalry squashed. Like, just it's not even a money fight anymore. Nobody cares. There's more money in a Ronda Rousey-Holly Holm rematch than there is in a Cyborg fight.
Oh, definitely. Listen, if they can get Carano to come back and it's just a sideshow Ronda versus Carano, like, what would happen type of fight, that'd be something that'd be a huge sell. And a little less dangerous for Ronda.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Gina hasn't trained God knows how long. She's in Hollywood now.
Doing quite well.
I've heard, like, a number of stories why Gina, I'm not going to divulge them all, but because it's, like, very inside information of who Gina is and why she doesn't care to fight anymore. But the obvious reason is there's more money in Hollywood not getting your ass kicked than there is in MMA where you get your ass kicked and get paid the fraction of the money.
Yeah.
There's no reason for Gina to fight Ronda. There's no reason for Gina ever fight again. Just let it go.
Ronda needs someone, and it's going to be a long road for her if she decides to come back. Switching gears to other things in MMA, people who are actually going to fight soon. We have two fights announced. Khabib versus Tony Ferguson. That's going to be a great fight. Still no word on whether that's an interim title fight.
No. All we've heard is that those two have basically agreed. The UFC hasn't even formally announced the fight yet.
Yeah, it hasn't been inked, so to say, but it seems like the money came together somehow. Whether Khabib is, you know, putting up to 200,000, like he said, Khabib doesn't care. He wants McGregor. He wants the belt, the real belt, not even Conor. I don't think he's one of the few people that cares less about Conor than he does the actual championship. He just wants the belt. And whoever he has to go through, he's the rare guy who says, you know what? I don't care if I got to run through 1 through 5. Bring them all on because I'm going to that belt and none's going to stop me. And Tony Ferguson has been on a roll. I mean, some of the best hands in the division. We'll see how he handles the wrestling, the Sambo style. Great matchup. If you can't get Conor into one of these guys' fights, this is the second best thing, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The way Ferguson has looked since The Ultimate Fighter, he's just been a savage. And even though he struggled a little bit with Vanetta on a short notice fight.
I was about to say
fight,
he almost got rocked, but that short notice is different.
I mean, for those who aren't privy, Tony Ferguson didn't even train for that fight. I think he was building his house, like, physically. So I don't think, like, any part, like, Ferguson wasn't really preparing for that fight. So, but everything else, like, you saw what he did to Rafael Dos Anjos and pushed his ass out of lightweight to welterweight. So, Ferguson's a beast, but I think Khabib is just on another level right now of savagery. He's unbeaten. Like, people forget, the man has not lost.
Because he has a puzzle you can't figure out. Or not yet. Nah, people talk about his hands, but you got to stay upright long enough to give him those hands.
Yeah, and that grappling is something else.
No one can figure out the Sambo style. Like, I don't understand it.
He's very, very good at what he does. He's very strong on top. He's very violent in his ground and pound. We saw what he did to Michael Johnson. We saw what he did back in the day to Rafael Dos Anjos. We saw what he did to everybody that he's fought.
Every single one.
He's a rough person to deal with. He's just not a fun fight. You know, he's not going to dance. It's not like, it's the difference between like fighting Floyd Mayweather or fighting somebody like Gennady Golovkin, who's going to be on top of you the entire fight, trying to kill you. And that's what Khabib does. He's a pressure fighter. He's not going to let up. 5-round fight. Like, I'm leaning heavily towards Khabib in this fight, but this could be a really, really fun fight. So I'm glad they made it happen.
No, definitely. That's the only other thing. Like, if it's for an interim belt, I would like it because it'd be 5 rounds.
Yeah, because it's the co-main.
It's the co-main.
On 209.
Yeah, so I would love to see this 5 rounds. So I don't care. Give him a make-believe belt because it adds 2 rounds to the fight. And Khabib's a guy who's not looking to finish anyone. He's looking to embarrass people for 25 minutes.
Yeah, I don't want this to be for an interim title because interim titles are getting out of hand already. They're unnecessary.
Conor just won the normal title, but yeah, still, I just want 5 rounds.
Yeah, well, there's got to be another way to do it. I don't want to see, like, no more interim title talk. I don't want to see that shit be brought up anymore. If Conor's active, there's no need for interim title. So,
correct. We have the main event also announced for that night. Tyron Woodley versus Wonder Boy 2, the rematch. This is, by the way, people, it might not do the numbers people wanted to do, and they had to cancel a card that same week in Vegas, probably due to just lack of star power to sell it, that Fight Pass card. But this is like hardcore MMA in as close as you'll get to it for a pay-per-view in 2017. This is no BS, no loud mouths, no nothing. This is best fighter versus best fighter in divisions. Let's go.
Yeah, it was really fascinating to me that it took this long for it to come together. Tyron Woodley's in no position to be posturing for a big money fight. Right. Like, I love Tyron Woodley. I think he's a great fighter, but for him, you know, teasing that the Wonder Boy's entitled and that he'll give it the shot, like, you're in no position to call your shot. You had a draw.
Everyone thinks they're Conor.
Yeah, like, you had a draw. You can't call your next fight. If there was any fight that deserves an immediate rematch, it's this one because there was no fucking winner. it's really laid out as plain as day. Like, what other argument is there than to say it was a draw and you need to finish this before you move on? And it's funny. Now, Woodley is once again the underdog in this fight. The Lions just came out today. I think this is like the 6th consecutive time he's been an underdog, which is insane.
Yeah. And he's like 4-1 or something, 5-1
in those fights. Woodley gets no respect, and he's also a victim of what we just talked about, being an African-American combat sports tactician. Like, he is not benefiting at all. People hate him for who he is. And, you know, Wonder Boy is, unfortunately, like the great white hope in this fight. And I think Wonder Boy is the better fighter, and I think Wonder Boy will win the rematch. I think he doesn't make that mistake where he gets rocked by Woodley. But Woodley, I feel so bad for the man because he's the champ and he gets zero respect in the MMA community.
You can't be a nice black guy. If you're a nice black guy, sooner or later, they're going to turn you to the angry black man by not liking you. Because they booed DC. Against John Jones, they booed DC. Like, they don't like the nice black guy. It's just, it's not where it is.
You look at Woodley and his past few fights, and you look how much he was booed in facing Wonder Boy. Leading into every press conference, they booed the shit out of Tyron. Why?
There's no reason.
Like, if you're going to boo Tyron, you should boo Bisping. But they're not going to boo Bisping. They're going to love Bisping. Or they're going to boo him in a different manner, which is still like, we still support you, but it's fun to boo you. they genuinely don't like Tyron Woodley, who knocked out Robbie Lawler, who is staking his claim as one of the best welterweights of all time. And Woodley flatlined him in the first round. And he's still not getting any respect. It's unfortunate, but that's just kind of the way it is. If Woodley is able to beat Wonderboy, you have to give him his respect. You have Definitely. To.
I mean,
but I just don't think he beats him.
Yeah, I don't. If he could have shown that he was willing to wrestle and grapple more, I would give him the nod for this second fight. But he, to me, it's the Henderson effect. He has the Hendo. He learned that he had power in his right hand, and he's abandoning what got him to the show. And 25 minutes standing with Wonderboy, like I said, it's rough. He'll outpoint you, and then if you do the wrong thing, it's night-night time for you too. So it's a dangerous game to play. I don't know. I'm just really excited about watching the fight. I'm glad that it's here. I'm glad we get to go to it. Shake Shack on deck. And it's going to be great, man. It's going to be great. One more fight to cover before we hit up another break. UFC Phoenix this weekend. The return of BJ Penn versus Yair Rodriguez. Penn was supposed to fight a couple other fighters. It didn't go through. This is his return fight. They're setting him up for the L, aren't they? Like, this...
Yeah.
How do you go from... He went up in stages. Every time a fight would get canceled, he got a better fighter, And then now he gets one of the best young fighters.
Yeah, this is a horrible, horrible, horrible matchup for BJ Penn. Let's not forget that BJ hasn't won a fight since he knocked out Matt Hughes at UFC 123.
What?
He hasn't won a fight.
No way.
Look it up. Because he lost Rory McDonald, Nick Diaz. He had a draw, and he had, let's see, and Frankie Edgar, who mauled him.
Oh,
and all three of his losses, he was destroyed. He knocked out Matt Hughes at UFC 123. He hasn't won since.
Yo, not that a fight. Is real. 2010, November of 2010, was BJ Penn's last win.
6 years. And you're going to give him a young, hungry, talented fighter in Yair Rodriguez.
Why was he fighting Nick Diaz?
He wanted to at welterweight.
Yo, he fought in every weight. Yeah, that's ridiculous, though.
But you're essentially feeding BJ Yair Rodriguez to make a star out of Rodriguez is what you're doing. It's just what you're doing. Penn has no chance in hell. He's like a 4-1 underdog, but it should be like 6-1 because unless he gets a lucky punch. He's 38 years old. And not that the age necessarily matters, but he's far from the prodigy. He's far from the best lightweight in the world. He's so far removed from that. His boxing in his days when he was killing Diego Sanchez and Kenny Florian, like nobody could stop BJ Penn in the stand-up and the ground game. He's slow in all of those areas now. And Yair Rodriguez is a competent wrestler, a dynamic striker, and is just about better in every area. So if you're looking for a massacre, tune in on Sunday. And I don't even know, Yair should finish BJ, but he might just dominate him for 5 rounds. Because I don't even think BJ's cardio is going to get him through 25 minutes.
No, Yair is going to take his face off. Like, that's just what he does.
Well, he only has one knockout since being in the UFC, and that was against Andre Feely. But other than that...
He pummels people. Like, he throws some of the wildest stuff.
Yeah, he hasn't really knocked... Like, there's this misconception that Yair is a knockout artist, and he's a dynamic striker. In similar fashion to John Jones, where he's a creative striker, but doesn't really knock you out with his striking. He could knock out BJ.
Yeah, but I mean, his knockout second round, a flying knee, which was sick. Caceres took some punishment. That was a great fight. Him versus Caceres.
It was a lot better than a lot of us thought it was going to be. Like a lot of us were like, "Oh yeah, Yair Rodriguez is going to run over Alex Caceres." But Caceres is a competent striker. If you're a competent striker, you can stand there with Yair. He's not going to just blow you away. But against BJ Penn, this could be his opportunity to blow him away.
Yeah, it'll be one hell of a notch on his resume if he can get it done. Because not a lot of people stop BJ Penn, but what's left of BJ Penn, right?
Yeah, just fragments.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick break. Give it to the sponsors one more time. When we come back, we're talking pro wrestling. We have just, starting off with a little something different this week and then working our way through covering Raw, SmackDown, everything else. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, everybody, before we continue to talk more combat sports, we got to give another thanks to Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses combine two technologies, springing latex foam and supportive memory foam, to create an award-winning sleep surface. Have y'all ever slept on memory foam? It's like floating on air. It's that great. And this is how we get our sleep. So you guys make sure that you check it out. Casper Mattresses are made in the USA and have free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Shout out to the Great North. You can buy your Casper mattress easy online, and it's completely risk-free.
Look, dude, you spend like a third of your life sleeping, and Casper understands the importance of trying out a mattress before you commit. Look, so if you aren't satisfied with the Casper mattress, you got a 100-day period. Yeah, that's right, 100 days. You know, like 100 days of sleeping? By about that time, I think I know if I like my mattress. So get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. And you can save an additional $50 towards your Casper mattress by going to casper.com/thecorner and entering the promo code thecorner. That's casper.com/thecorner. Promo code thecorner to save $50 towards your Casper purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Look, again, man, I like to sleep, and these things are for real.
All right, we're back. Thank you guys for listening to the sponsors. Make sure you guys check that out. Support the show. Use the promo code, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone wants a new bed, right? It's 2017. We're going to need to sleep nice at night because Lord knows what's going to go down during the day. We're here to talk pro wrestling, though. And before we get into recapping everything, I had a thought and I want to see what you thought about it, Andreas. And looking back on 2016 in the WWE, there were some people who got pushed and some people who didn't get pushed. And it was shocking to see, you know, if you had to say, okay, these people had these were the 10 best runs in 2016, right? And if we listed them on paper, Styles would be up there. Kind of shocking that he got that push and was champion for most of the year. Kevin Owens, you know, good intercontinental run, but he's running a brand. Chris Jericho getting a push. And even The Miz. The Miz had one hell of a push. At Mania, we're like, oh, The Miz won. But then he took it and ran with it. He's been probably the best thing to happen in Intercontinental Championship in years. So those pushes were surprising. Those guys will all end up on a top 10 of 2016. If we had to project the WWE 2017 top 10, as far as booking, in-ring, the push that they're given, who would be on your top 10 looking back on it? Who do you think is going to be on the top 10 for 2017?
Finn Balor. I think Finn's return is going to be a big deal because they were primed to push him as a big deal. Hopefully Vince doesn't look at him as a small guy who gets injured a la Daniel Bryan. But Finn should get a heavy push heading into 2017. A dark horse is, I think maybe they start to figure this shit out with Sami Zayn. There's only two ways that Sami Zayn is going to go. Either he's going to get the underdog push like Daniel Bryan, or he's going to be stuck in mid-card territory like Cesaro.
He's going to be Dolph Ziggler.
No, I think he'd be more like Cesaro. Like, Cesaro doesn't even get the opportunity to fight for the title. Like, Cesaro is so good, but he just kind of lingers in these weird situations where, like, right now being the tag champ, yeah, that's great, but we all know that Cesaro should be competing for one of the major titles and should be getting a major push. So I think Sami Zayn could maybe get a big push in 2017. I hope that this is finally the year of Bray Wyatt. I think Braun Strowman is going to get a push. Let's just put that out there. He's already being pushed. But Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, and I have this feeling after watching SmackDown this week that Baron Corbin is going to get a push on SmackDown.
Ugh.
He didn't
look out of place. I love the finisher.
Yeah, he just didn't look out of place against John Cena. And he seems like a guy that fits what Vince McMahon likes. And furthermore, Baron Corbin looks like, if he were to shore up his game a little bit and look a little bit better, he looks like a guy who could face The Undertaker down the line and people would think it's a legitimate match. Obviously, to us wrestling purists, we'd laugh at it. But Corbin has that look and that appeal.
Yeah.
In a similar, like, he's kind of a, he's a goth version, not a goth, he's like a heavy metal version of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
He has a certain appeal to him. So I think Baron Corbin
may be naturally a heel.
Yeah, absolutely. Corbin is the type of guy, his attitude, He has to work on his promos. But, I mean, if you look at The Miz when he first came in the WWE, and he was awful at promos. And he eventually got better. So Corbin could be in for a big push in 2017.
No, interesting list. I mean, I have, when I wrote it down, I have Balor at the top of my list, right? It's going to be his year. He's going to come back. He's going to hit the ground running. People brought it to my attention. Like, a lot of people are looking forward to him joining Gallows and Anderson. So Gallows and Anderson make my list. Because as bad as they've been used, when they came over from New Japan, we said they were coming over for the Balor Club. They were coming over to eventually be with Finn, to bring that full circle. And Finn gets injured, and now they've kind of been in limbo on their own. They, even in New Japan, they were great accessory pieces. They held the belts. They carried the heavyweight division, which wasn't hard for like the normal tag team championships. But they were always built around a strong leader of the Bullet Club. They haven't had that in the WWE. I think they get the push this year. AJ Styles continues a push, obviously. In the women's side, I think Charlotte gets the main push. As much as they tease Sasha and now Bayley and everything, I think Charlotte's going to be halfway to her father by the end of 2017. So she has a good more four title wins in her. Surprise on my list, I'm saying Nakamura gets an insane push when he gets called up.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. Nakamura doesn't get called up this year.
What?
The reason why I say this is, you see how long it took Finn Balor to get called up? It took him over a year.
Yes.
And you need a star to carry the NXT brand. Nakamura is what Finn Balor was. There is no star after Nakamura leaves to carry the NXT brand right now.
Well, you're of the opinion that Bobby Roode should be called up immediately.
Absolutely. Bobby Roode
is that is the difference, because Bobby Roode could be that star.
No, he can't be that star, because he's a heel. A face has to, like, right now, a face kind of needs to run that company. That promotion. In terms of NXT, like, Bobby Roode is a great talent, but he's ready for the main roster. Like, Nakamura is the anchor for NXT right now. There's a possibility that Nakamura doesn't get called up this year. And if he does get called up, I think it's like late this year. It's not like after WrestleMania. Like, I think Bobby Roode gets called up before Nakamura does.
Wow.
Because you need a star. There's nobody to replace. Like, Nakamura was built to replace Finn Balor in NXT. Like, as Bobby Roode is as ready for the main roster as Samoa Joe is. Samoa Joe is not the star to carry NXT. Samoa Joe will be he might be a star on the main roster if he's utilized right. Bobby Roode is built for like an IC title run. But Nakamura, in order to keep NXT as relevant as it needs to be, you need Nakamura or the equivalent. Like, the only way Nakamura gets pushed is if Kenny Omega was to show up. Because there literally is nobody else that can carry that promotion on their back like Nakamura. Like, Nakamura is a phenomenon. He'll carry that promotion. But that's my bold prediction, that Nakamura remains in NXT this year.
What if I tell you at the Rumble that Adam Cole shows up? NXT, not at the main roster, but at the NXT pay-per-view at the Rumble.
Adam Cole's not big enough. Adam Cole is Roderick Strong and Austin Aries.
Oh, man. That's rough.
Adam Cole doesn't carry the it factor. Like, Adam Cole needs to be grown onto an audience. Like, he needs to be, like, cultivated a certain way to grow to an audience. Like, Bobby Roode was saddled with the perfect entrance, because Bobby Roode by himself wasn't a superstar in NXT. The moment that Nakamura showed up, he was a superstar. Cole is not that. Like, Cole doesn't show up as a superstar. Like,
people are left that are straight superstars?
That's plug and play. Point.
Like, they can keep raiding the indies or, you know, these secondary promotions, but how many people are left that are just plug-and-play superstars? But in my opinion, point. You have, what, two? Omega, Ricochet, and what?
I don't think Ricochet shows up as a superstar.
Ooh.
How does he? Like,
The King Ricochet, and you just play the...
Nope.
You get someone. I mean, he's been in Evolve. You just play his highlight package, and people are
doesn't
like,
matter.
Wow.
No, they'll be wowed. like, he's a great talent, but there is no, like, he doesn't come in right off the rip and looks like a, like, Kevin Owens had the it factor. Finn Balor had the it factor. Nakamura had the it factor. It was much more than them being competent wrestlers in the ring. Like, Kevin Owens' personality is bigger than life. Nakamura's charisma is unlike anybody we've ever seen. Ricochet is just a very talented wrestler. I don't think he comes in with the fanfare of a Nakamura. Like, Nakamura, the moment he showed up, we were clamoring over Nakamura. I don't think Ricochet has that same appeal. I don't think, and it's going to be hard to, like, they're going to have to find somebody who grows on the audience to replace Nakamura, because the NXT brand relies on somebody that you think is going to get brought up. Like, Finn Balor carried that company on his back, because until Nakamura came. Like, it was Finn Balor. Like, Kevin Owens came, but you already knew. The moment you saw Kevin Owens, it was like, well, he's going to the main roster eventually.
I mean, he was inserted into the title picture day one. Yeah, like, there was no warm-up period. It was like, well, yeah, this guy's ready.
He came in, he killed Sami Zayn, and Finn Balor came in to take the strap off of Kevin Owens to carry the company. And people thought, oh, well, Finn Balor's going to show up at the Rumble, or is Finn Balor's going to show up the day after WrestleMania? It took a minute, because they had to figure out who was going to replace him. And they hot-shotted AJ, because, I mean, come on, how could you not? But Nakamura, he needed the work with an American audience to see how he would play out. And that's what Nakamura has done in NXT. There's nobody that you can name for me right now that comes in with that kind of fire, unless Kenny Omega were to come in like tomorrow, because he's so hot after Wrestle Kingdom. But other than that, I think Nakamura is going to hang around for a little while.
If that's their basis on when to bring people up, they're going to be waiting a long time.
No, but here's the thing. It's not the basis. It's to establish NXT as a third brand. Because at a certain point, you have to look at, if you look at Triple H's recent interviews, the things that he has said about NXT being a third brand is not to compete or to be a farm system for the main roster. It's to establish itself as its own company. And as great as NXT takeovers have done on their own, like, the fact that they've done so well at WrestleMania, like, they've become bigger than, like, SummerSlam, NXT takeover. It's establishing it as a brand. And yeah, you may move people over, but you may see some SmackDown guys come to NXT, or Raw people come to NXT, because I think...
Which is needed, by the way. Apollo Crews needs a strong NXT run.
But yeah, but what I'm saying is NXT has established itself as its own brand, so I think at a certain point we're going to have to stop looking at his guys being called up like they made the major leagues. NXT has almost proven itself to be its own major league entity. So, and then you also have a clusterfuck going on, because I have no idea what they're doing with this UK title. I don't know how this factors in.
Where is that going to be? Yeah, I don't understand.
Like, the Cruiserweight title is on 205 Live. So it's like they're trying to establish brands. And, like, 205 Live is its own brand. And that's what they're not trying to use it as anything else, but to create its own brand and give it some shine on the Raw roster. Like, NXT they're established. But in order for them to stay that way, they got to stay hot. They don't want to be a flash in the pan, so you got to have somebody like Nakamura holding it down.
Oh, until you find somebody else. That's like next year Rumble then for Nakamura.
If you think about it like this. Do you really need Nakamura inserted into the main roster right now?
I could really use Nakamura on SmackDown versus Styles. I mean, but that's just being greedy, right?
But it's like, do you need him? Do you look at their rosters and you go, I need Nakamura on the main roster right now?
No. No.
You don't.
No, you don't. But like, we're in the midst of like a Mania push. Cena's back. No, I can't honestly say that. We probably don't need Nakamura on the main roster until after SummerSlam next year. Because we saw the cool-off, right? We saw the SummerSlam cool-off that you always talk about, and the dead months and all that stuff. That's when you need a Nakamura.
Like, they have so many, like, there's still crowded with talent. Even though SmackDown's like thin, I think, you know, they're going to reevaluate a lot of things and split some of these guys back and put some guys over on SmackDown from Raw, because Raw's super crowded. I think they just need to appropriate their resources better. But there's no true need for Nakamura, because he's so big. There's no way that you can insert Nakamura into Raw or SmackDown without immediately making him a mega player. And if you put him on Raw, there's Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, still Brock Lesnar lingering around. Like, he could get lost in the shuffle, which is what you don't want to see. I think Big E is going to get a singles push this year. I think something happens with the New Day. I don't think they necessarily break up, but I think Big E gets a big push.
It's looking at it, looking like it right now, right? With him and Titus probably going to get their own program.
Yeah, I hope not. Titus sucks. But
I'm just saying, like, that's his introduction into singles
matchups. Yeah, but it's like Big E needs a singles push. And then you look at SmackDown. Ziggler just turned heel. AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, John Cena. It's like, all right, well, why do we need to put Nakamura in this right now?
Only when Cena's gone. When Cena's gone and we had to, you know, it seemed as though Styles and Ambrose were ready to move on from each other and we saw the program for 4 months because there was no one else.
Yeah, so it's just right now I think Nakamura is best suited to anchor and be the torchbearer for NXT. And a lot of people are going to say, no, he needs to go. Like, he doesn't need to. Because he's the reason why you watch NXT.
Yeah, we're just spoiled wrestling fans, though.
Like, Samoa Joe, because Samoa Joe's getting called up. If Samoa Joe's getting called up, there's no need for Nakamura to get called up.
Samoa Joe goes in. I mean, I need to see a Joe-Cena matchup, like, day after Mania.
Like, you're already... But, see, if you put Samoa Joe in the picture, if you put him on SmackDown, there's already a number of feuds that you can, like, it reshuffles the entire deck.
Yeah.
So you put Joe in the picture, but then it's like, why put Nakamura in that same thing? Because clearly you don't need Nakamura on Raw. Because Finn Balor's still scheduled to come back. And yeah. He's going to be on Raw. So it's unnecessary to put Nakamura there.
No, I think the next three NXT call-ups are all for SmackDown. If you don't reshuffle the deck, right? If you don't have another draft and just reshuffle the deck, which I think they did every year, right? There was draft every year. But if currently constructed, if you have call-ups the 2 days after Mania for SmackDown, I think the guys that are being called up are all, you know, you get Bobby Roode to SmackDown, you get immediate IC title contender. You get Samoa Joe to SmackDown, and he goes against AJ Styles or John Cena, whoever it may be. And then the third would be Nakamura to SmackDown. And you have a new SmackDown 6 kind of scenario.
Yeah, it's just that you just don't need it.
Where it's just like quality wrestling. And Cena's going to go off. He decided to make another comedy, a movie where he's like, you know, a main character and everything. He's going to have to drop that belt. And it's good to have quality wrestling, right? Isn't that what SmackDown promised us? We're not Raw. We're not Flash. We are quality wrestling. So bring up quality wrestling.
It's a struggle because like we look at how hard – because, look, you still got Randy Orton. You still got Bray Wyatt. You have American Alpha who's have kind of been floundering in SmackDown.
Even with the titles.
Right. And it's like you look at teams like The Revival who people are like, well, call them up. Well, do you really need to call up The Revival right now? Because them and DIY are kind of – they're helping the NXT brand. Like you still need guys who are going to push that brand. And
even if Payne and TM61 have to carry the tag team division.
I just don't think there's enough charisma there. Like even the Authors of Pain are more suited for the main roster as monsters than they are for NXT. Because
you think they get the early Nia Jax call up?
Probably. I can't see the Authors of Pain because what the Authors of Pain end up becoming is a monster heel tag team that wins the title only to put over another fake babyface tag team eventually. That's what they have to do.
Correct.
So, and I don't even think it's TM61. I think it's going to be somebody else.
What? No, TM61's getting the next push. The next babyface run is TM61.
I don't think so.
They're too good in the ring.
They're good in the ring, but I don't think they get the big push. To knock off the Authors of Pain, because TM61 lost at the Dusty Rhodes Classic, there's going to have to be another tag team to rise up to knock the Authors of Pain off and send their ass to the main roster. So, I don't know who it's going to be, but it's just, logically speaking, to bring this all back around, there's just no need to bring Nakamura up. It's not like he has to go up. NXT has been to go into WrestleMania, obviously they need NXT to have a strong showing. But then after that, because SummerSlam's NXT is almost as big as the WrestleMania one. If you don't have Nakamura, who do you have? So I think he's going to hang around for a while.
That's rough. All right, let's talk about Raw then. Let's get right into Raw. We had the return of Taker. Do anything for you? It didn't do much for me.
Him being inserted into the Royal Rumble is interesting because now I still have no idea who wins this thing. And now the Undertaker's in it, I'm like, does he win?
Yeah, my pick last week kind of went up in smoke. I was like, oh, Jericho has to win it, right? Well, dude, looks like that shit sailed. Jericho has his own belt, so I don't think he United wins States the Rumble. Yeah. I do think this means Roman Reigns becomes champion, Universal Champion at the Rumble, which makes me fucking sick.
I don't think so.
Roman's going to lose to Jericho and then lose to Owens?
He could. I mean, he could very, like, here's what I think. I think Roman Reigns loses to Kevin Owens because of Braun Strowman. And that's your program heading into WrestleMania.
Ooh.
Because right now, Braun Strowman needs a dance partner. And they've been kind of planting the seeds with the Goldberg-Roman Reigns spear and Braun Strowman being involved. And you need somebody physically tough enough to deal with Braun Strowman in the ring. That's Roman Reigns.
I like the way you think. I'm not mad at that. It would have made more sense if Roman was still champion, but I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, like if Roman's not champion, he needs to engage in like one of those big bully feuds. And like him against Braun Strowman
so when
makes
does this
sense.
So where does this leave Jericho? Like Jericho needs a foil now, right?
Jericho is going to drop that United States title to somebody else. Could be Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins can carry that United States championship like John Cena did. And the Jericho Owens feud is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it seems like it's manufactured for WrestleMania.
I'd love to see Sami Zayn get that off of Jericho then.
Yeah, it's quite possible that happens.
With
because
the beef with him and Owens and as the backdrop and everything else. And him and Jericho can just go after it. And it'd be a great push for Sami.
Like, and we already know that Seth Rollins is basically phased out of this because he's going to probably wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania. So, yeah. An Owens-Jericho feud seems like it's going to happen. And with so few pay-per-views between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, which I think there's like one Raw pay-per-view, there's enough time to build that the right way without having to force them to face each other beforehand. So I think that's the route we go. But still, I have no clue who wins the Royal Rumble. Not a clue.
Not at all. I mean, we're still left in the dark. What do you think about my boy HBK coming back and showing off his dab?
Oh, God. It was so useless to bring him back. Like, it was.
Well,
it
he
was
has a movie coming out, so they had to promote it.
A useless movie at that. Nobody's going to see that shit. Tease it, like, have HBK come back to do nothing more than to promote a Christian movie and then super kick. Rusev.
Poor Rusev.
Yeah, poor Rusev. He's probably one of the best. He's in the Cesaro land right now. He's too good to be held down. But yeah, it was just a waste. I hated it. I hated seeing HBK there because it was pointless. He did nothing.
Yeah. It's always nice to see him. It would have been better if he had a bigger role. I still wish I could see a Rollins-HBK match. It's not going to happen, but man, would that be great. Yeah. So, yeah, he pretty much did nothing. And that's really all we saw in Raw. The women, you know, the same four women going at it every week. The New Day is in with Titus, which is stupid. And they're just making fun of him, so Titus looks like an ass. And that's about it. That's Raw in a nutshell. Moving on to SmackDown, which I think the past couple weeks, SmackDown has, you know, been the better show. It came back. It reclaimed that mantle after, you know, Sasha and Charlotte were just tearing it up on Raw. Since that ended, SmackDown's like, no, okay, give it back to us. So on SmackDown, Cena came back. We talked about Corbin versus Cena. Corbin held his own, kind of in the main picture, but Kalisto's still just hanging around. And that feud is still being teased. I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either. Kalisto needs to be on 205 Live. I still don't understand why this hasn't happened yet. Like, I got my first wish with Neville turning heel and coming to 205 Live. Like, that made perfect sense. Kalisto lingering around SmackDown without being factored into the Cruiserweight division makes absolutely no sense.
No, Kalisto needs a repackaging. Just music of his own, you know? Keep the outfits, keep everything. Give him his own music. The Lucha shit is dead. He's no longer a Lucha Dragon. Put him on 205 and let him rock.
Yeah, so the fact that Dolph Ziggler's finally turned heel is great. I think it breathes new life into his character. The Miz is still... I mean, The Miz could win the Royal Rumble. Him losing the title to Ambrose could signal him winning the Royal Rumble. Why? I'm not quite sure, because I think WrestleMania...
Are you ready for The Miz to headline Mania again?
Absolutely not, no. But I think his character is so hot right now that they could go that decision, even though I think it'd be a bad decision, but I think they could go that route.
Question, does the winner of the Rumble headline Mania?
No.
Goldberg, Lesnar headlines Mania?
No. Goldberg Lesnar does not headline Mania. That's okay, a special.
You got to choose one. You got to choose one or other, man. Like,
no, I don't. There's two
the
titles.
Winner of the Rumble headlines it. Who's? Hold on. So, AJ Styles, if he walks away with the title, would headline WrestleMania? Is what you're saying?
He could potentially headline WrestleMania. Yes. Like the winner
there's
is
no
it's
way
not,
that Cena's not headlining Mania.
But it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not definite that, like, if Cena were to win, right? And Undertaker doesn't win the Royal Rumble but challenges John Cena, that headlines WrestleMania. That's not the winner of the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Like, the Undertaker doesn't have to win the Royal Rumble to be inserted into the title picture against John Cena. Right? Like, but Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg will absolutely not headline WrestleMania. Because that's the worst possible decision to have two part-timers headline your biggest show. You can't do it. It's a special attraction. Like, you can't do that again. But to have somebody like AJ Styles could headline WrestleMania. Kevin Owens could headline WrestleMania. But I think it's really built for a match of Undertaker versus John Cena. I don't, unless there's somebody else for Undertaker to wrestle that makes sense, that we'd like to see, like AJ Styles.
Would you really want to see Styles versus Taker?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
No. I'm just saying, but I'm trying to put myself in the WWE shoes right now and trying to figure out what do you put to headline? And if it's not Cena and Undertaker, which is a match that people forget, Undertaker and Cena haven't wrestled since Cena was a heel on SmackDown a decade ago.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. A championship versus, championship versus career match has to happen. Like, I feel like it's the only way to go. But again, I don't know who headlines. I don't know who headlines WrestleMania. But I know it's not going to be Bill Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
All right. Well, we get Ambrose's IC champion. Think him and The Miz play this out all the way?
To Mania?
No. Yeah.
No. Well, it could. It's like the time is actually getting shorter and shorter. As the weeks go by, it's like, oh, well, you don't have a whole lot of time to build a lot of feuds. Like, you have some that are already installed, like Rollins and Triple H. Like, you know that's going to happen. Owens and Jericho, which they've teased for a long but they haven't pulled the trigger on. The trigger's been pulled on The Miz and Ambrose, and we've already seen them wrestle. So to see them wrestle again at Mania doesn't make a lot of sense. So that somebody else has to be inserted into that picture by then.
And next week, we get a women's title match, Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss. They're kind of carrying that side, which is good. They're the two best talents.
Yeah. Until I think Asuka's going to remain undefeated in NXT, and she'll show up on SmackDown. Or Raw. She'll show up somewhere. I think she's going to get, well, fuck. Because then the women's division is doomed. If it's just Ember Moon and nobody else. But maybe Nikki Cross. But
I was about to say, Ember Moon, Nikki Cross. Did you see the crop that they just signed?
Legit.
As far as wrestling experience, legit. They got three women who are going to be the real deal in NXT. As soon as they get characters, all this stuff, it's going to be rushed, though. It's going to be like Ember Moon, where Ember sat for 4 months, 5 months, and that's it. Like, it's going to be pretty quick. And I'm interested to see that MMA chick, to see what exactly she has.
She's terrible.
But is she bad?
Yeah.
Oh. I was intrigued.
She sucks.
No, but these next three chicks, they have, like, legit indie experience. One is considered one of the best female wrestlers in the world, so.
We'll see.
Yeah, can't knock it. So they seem to have their stuff played out. Talking about NXT, before we get out of here, we already touched on Kenny Omega. Do you think he comes over?
No.
Or do you think this is just all fluff?
This is all fluff. John Cena is known to troll. Kenny Omega will probably be back by the Super J Cup. No, I don't think Kenny. I think maybe he's teasing this, but I don't think he goes anywhere. I think Kenny Omega goes, maybe jumps back into the title picture. But I'm of the mind, I think Shibata is going to get his chance this year. So anyway, but yeah, Kenny Omega in the WWE, I don't think it's happening.
Not happening. All right, so that leaves us with, so far, the matches announced. If you guys don't want spoilers, cover your ears. La, 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 la. For NXT TakeOver San Antonio, which is Royal Rumble weekend. We have Nakamura versus Rude for the title. We have Asuka versus Nikki Cross versus Billie Kay versus Peyton Royce, which is being set up currently. We have DIY versus the Authors of Pain. And then we have Ty Dillinger versus Eric Young and his stable of goons. How do you see this playing out? One, is this the worst takeover lineup we've had yet?
Yes. I'll say it very fast. Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Are you not excited for it? You don't seem excited for it.
I'm not. As of right now, I'm not. Nothing on this card sticks out like it's going to be an excellent match. It's a few good matches.
Nakamura versus Rude. That wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't match of the night.
No, it wasn't. And this is interesting thing about Nakamura. Like, if you watch him very closely, there are matches... Like, Nakamura knows how to coast in a match. It's really... Like, he doesn't go balls to the wall because he doesn't have to. He's not like Daniel Bryan. He's not like Cesaro or Sami Zayn. Like, yeah. There's way... Like, Nakamura knows how to coast through a match. And it's relatively... It's not boring, but it's just a decent match. And he needs certain people to wrestle to bring the best out of him. And I don't think Bobby Roode's that guy. Like, I think it's a good match, but I don't think it's like, I don't think we're going to get a bunch of near falls and excitement and intrigue. Like, I never felt like the Joe Nakamura feud hit that fifth gear, and I don't know who to blame it on, but I'm not excited for this. I'm going to watch it. I think it's great, but whatever.
All right. It's not going to be the Nakamura send-off. Joe's not on the card.
Nope.
Yet. Ty Dillinger is there. No A. Jose. No Cien Almas, who should be getting a pretty good run as a heel here in a second. So there's still some spots to fill. We'll see. We'll see if Joe not being on this card yet is a precursor to maybe him in the Rumble or him coming up after Mania. We don't know. You're not in love with the women's match, I'm guessing.
No.
All right. Like Asuka, I said, this stays undefeated, in your opinion.
Of course. Asuka doesn't get... Nobody's going to beat Asuka. It could be Ember Moon, but as of right now, no. Nobody's taking that out.
DIY versus Authors of Pain.
I hope DIY wins. I really don't want to see Authors of Pain with the title yet.
They're going to be champions. I think the DIY... I mean, DIY was great for a tag team, but they're singles guys.
Yeah.
The Ciampa Psycho Killer act still has a lot of run in it that hasn't been played out. Gargano, to me, could be a legit champion. Like, I see United States champion. But he'll probably get tossed to 205 and do great. And be the top face at 205.
They're in another situation where I don't know where they go. Like, if they're not tag team champions, then right now, what are they? Because once you hit the WrestleMania stride, right?
Yeah,
everybody's kind of cemented in where they are. There's not a lot of movement that can happen until after WrestleMania. That's when movement happens. So if they lose the Authors of Pain, and the only other logical step for them, which
they got to run it back.
No. The only logical step is to have them face each other because they've teased this breakup. It's WWE mentality. It's to have Ciampa versus Gargano at WrestleMania weekend if not they lose the Authors of Pain.
Yeah, I'll take that. Once again, I think Johnny's going to be the biggest face in 205 Live. They don't have faces necessarily. I mean, TJ Perkins, Rich Swann, neither of them are Johnny Gargano.
No, like Johnny's an exceptional talent.
Yeah, so Johnny Wrestling, in my opinion, is going to be the best face in 205 Live in a year. And then you have guys like Austin Aries to play his foil. You have Neville, who can switch back and forth between face and heel. You have, I feel like I'm missing someone in 205. But either way, the heels are there. They need that top face. And that's not to say that Jack Gallagher isn't going to be that guy, too.
He's sure pushing him.
He has one hell of a program going. I'm a fan. They made me a fan of him. He's hilarious. And then Cedric Alexander has a program as well as a face. So they're trying to get more faces to split off into heel matchups. But Gargano's going to be that guy. So we got to see. Cedric Alexander is about to catch these blues, though. He's about to get Meek Milled here in a second.
Sure will.
Yeah, so it's getting ugly for him. That's pretty much the wrestling side of things. That means it's the end of our show. We got to thank everyone for listening. Once again, it's been a great week. A lot of stuff to talk about. Next week's going to be even better. We're gearing up towards Royal Rumble, there's UFC pay-per-views coming up. Brooklyn's coming up for the UFC. We have more boxing matches. That's going to start heating up. Finally, we're getting back into our WrestleMania push. we kind of, you know, we weathered the storm of our lull. We follow the sports that we cover. So when they're down, we're a little bit down. We're catching heat again, gearing up for the WrestleMania push. Thank you guys for listening every week. You can find us on social media at The Corner LSN on all platforms, Twitter, Instagram. You can find the show on SoundCloud, iTunes. Obviously, you guys are listening to it. So make sure you guys continue to support. Tell your friends to listen to us. You can find me at Kel Dansby on all platforms. And Andreas Hell, you know where the hell to find him. You hear this every week. But for now, we got to be out. We got stuff to do, a lot of work to put in. So until next week, we're out.
Peace.